take this opportunity to wish you a very happy Christmas. And we're joining together to worship God. Joseph will be speaking for us shortly. But I'm going to begin with a reading, Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. And they, that's Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Let's sing together 491 in the white book, 491.
Come now, O come. I'm reading from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known."
Amen. Let's sing again from the White Book, number 65.
Writers and men of the sun.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of that song. Lord, we may not have gold or myrrh or the treasures of Eden, but Lord, we pray that on this special day you'll receive our humble worship. And Lord, as we hear now, the reading of your words, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen.
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 Well, hello everyone. Merry Christmas to you all. If we haven't met before, I'm Joseph, or you can call me Joe. I may be a somewhat unfamiliar face to you all, because I currently live in Newcastle, where I work for Jesmond Parish Church as a ministry trainee. Whenever I'm back in these parts, though, this church is the one that I call home, and so it is an honour to be speaking here today. Before I start, let me pray again. Almighty Father, thank you for bringing us safely to the beginning of this day, on which we celebrate a momentous event in the history of mankind, the incarnation of your Word and Son, Jesus. Help us to stay focused on this truth throughout the celebrations of this day, and to do the same every year in the lead up to and the day of Christmas. Lord, open our minds and hearts to receive your truth this day, and please speak through me so that my human faults may not obscure the truth of your Word. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I wanted to open with a question. What makes Christmas, Christmas? Take the words from Tesco's Christmas advert for this year. Christmas isn't perfect, but that's what makes it Christmas. I'll say that again. Christmas isn't perfect, but that's what makes it Christmas. When I heard this as I watched the advert, I felt like it was missing the point. It did not feel right. Imperfection, is this the core or essence of Christmas? And so it could be easy for us to simply say no. It is not imperfection, but rather it is Jesus Christ that makes Christmas, Christmas. Of course, it's in the name, right? Christ's Mass. But it's also easy to forget this when we get caught up in the culture and society of our time, which sways one way and then the other. We are told by multitudes of media sources and adverts that Christmas is about many different things. So I decided, as anyone would, to sit down and watch a few of the festive adverts. Here is what I found was focused on. Food, Christmas deals, quality time with family and friends, music, including avoiding hearing Wham's song Last Christmas, Christmas TV, snow, and presents. And I'm sure you could all name more. I say, though, that if these things are what make Christmas, Christmas, then of course it will be seen as imperfect. Tesco will be justified in their statement. Why? Well, food quickly disappears, or there is a seasonal argument about Brussels sprouts. Christmas deals still mean you have to spend money. Family and friends can be difficult. The music can get annoying, especially hearing the song Last Christmas over and over again. Christmas TV also can get too much. There's only so many showings of It's a Wonderful Life a person can take, or maybe you disagree, which only supports the point. Snow, if we even get any here, melts away. Presents are opened quickly and sometimes forgotten. The things that are focused on at Christmas all have imperfections. These examples, though, are light-hearted. There are more serious imperfections surrounding Christmas, if we look to the world. Some people are left alone, some homeless and cold, some unable to share in all the things these adverts even promote. People still get sick at Christmas. People still hurt others, too. In fact, these issues are universal to each season of the year. Christmas is no exception. The world itself seems to be in a constant state of imperfection. These issues are not just about these hardships, but start to get to the root of the issue, what we call sin. Based just on this, then, we cannot call Christmas perfect. Maybe Tesco was right, or maybe there is something missing. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we see why there are issues. In the beginning, God, whose very state is perfection, created the world and he created it good. However, at the beginning, man brought sin, suffering and death into the world by disobedience to God. This disobedience created a chasm between us and God, who is good and perfect, a broken relationship. There is the beginning and core of the imperfections. This is what we call sin, our rebellion from God. This is why Christmas time could be seen as imperfect, because mankind sins. Genesis 3, 8 to 19, which is read out, shows some of these issues: shame, irresponsibility, pain in childbearing, cursed ground, hard and tiring, painful work, being returned to dust, which means death. This shows us that the state of the world that humanity brought about through disobeying God is suffering for our own actions, and they still, these disobeying God still happens today. We have thrown off God and separated ourselves from him, the giver and sustainer of life itself, and have reaped the consequences. The ultimate consequence being the penalty of death that was rightly due because we had abandoned the giver of life, God. However, in this passage from Genesis, there is a diamond in the rough. In the curse of the serpent, in verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. At the very beginning of all the issues and imperfections, there is hope. The offspring of a woman would crush the one who tempted us into sin and put an end to sin itself, meaning death would be defeated. It shows that God still had a plan for reconciliation from the very beginning. For the readers of Genesis then, it would have been a hope to look forward to. For us, it is a hope that has come because we do celebrate on this day the offspring of a woman who came to defeat sin, Jesus. This brings us to the reading from John 1:1-18. You can have it open if you wish, which itself echoes the beginning of Genesis, both starting with "in the beginning." Clearly, John had read his Old Testament and is transporting his readers back to the beginning. In fact, it is almost like John is opening his gospel by proclaiming a new creation or a new life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The rest of the verses up until verse 5 tell us of the divinity of the Word. He was with God, he is God. He is a he and therefore personal and not just an unfeeling force. Also, all things were made through him. And you will notice, if you read the creation account in Genesis, God creates how? Through speech, through his word. The word also is not part of his creation, but before creation, because all creation was made through him, proving again the word is God. As a result of the creative power of the Word, John tells us in verse 4 that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This light cannot be overcome by the darkness. In Genesis, darkness or sin was brought into the world by disobedience and a chasm between us and God. But the light cannot be overcome despite this, both in a general sense, because all good comes from him, but also in a hopeful sense for a complete overcoming of darkness and sin. Just like the promise of the offspring in Genesis 3:15, John is showing us that there is hope in the Word. In fact, this hope is that the penalty of sin, death, can be defeated by life itself. This hope is fulfilled in what John describes next in verses 6 to 9 and verse 14. The Word, the true light, was coming into the world. We see here the character of John the Baptist bearing witness, proclaiming the light, almost like an advertisement, except better by an infinite amount, because what he was proclaiming is the perfect God, the Word, was coming into the world. In verse 14, we are told that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, meaning he became man. Imagine that the good God that we had thrown off comes down to us into the world. We have seen that the world is imperfect. In fact, often the phrase "the world" is used in Scripture. It holds bad connotations, especially in John, who often identifies the world with sinful men rejecting God. And yet, God himself comes into the world. As verse 18 says, God is made known to us by Jesus, the Word. light is shone and will not be overcome. God coming as man is significant because of the promise of Genesis 3:15. The human offspring will defeat evil. Who better than the Word, Jesus, who is light to defeat dark, life overcoming death? In fact, it's not just a case of who better, but also necessary that God became man, because only God could bridge a gap that needed perfection. Man, as we have seen from a look at our world and the biblical account, through his sin, cannot be perfect, and so only God could bridge the gap. Yet it was man's fault, and so a man had to bridge the gap. This is what Christmas is about. God becoming man, or in more technical terms, the incarnation of the Word for our salvation. It is something, as Christians we may forget, Jesus did die and rise, which was his life overcoming death for our salvation and removal of sin. But also, he, as the ancient Nicene Creed says, became incarnate as well for us men and for our salvation. What is also significant about this, though, is that in the person of Jesus and in his birth, which we celebrate today, we see the beginning of the relationship between God and man being fixed. As the great reformer John Calvin said, a miracle was required to bridge the gulf between our defilement and God's infinite purity, a miracle of incarnation in which the Godhead was united to our humanity. Basically, the incarnation sees humanity and God brought together in Christ. So at the heart of Christmas is the coming of the perfect Word as man, so that he can defeat sin and death. In fact, we can almost say to Tesco that Christmas is perfect as a result of this joyous truth. This is what makes Christmas Christmas, almost. Because it's also important to remember during the celebration of Christmas that the Word, Jesus, did not just come down to do nothing and walk around peacefully for a few years for our salvation. He came to die for us, because that was the penalty due for disobedience and us being cut off from life itself. But he also came to rise again, showing that the abundant life in him overcomes death. Truly life itself claiming victory over death. So at Christmas we should cast our mind also to Calvary, to the cross. Now there is another key, some would say the purpose of John's opening section of his gospel, receiving Jesus. Verse 10 and 11 talk of the world not knowing their creator, but also of his own people not receiving him. On the other hand, according to verses 12 to 13, if we do receive him and believe in him, we become children of God according to his will, the new creation that John seems to be getting at. The chasm is crossed. We need to receive the light who overcame sin and imperfection for us by his incarnation, death, and resurrection. So we must receive the perfection of Jesus, the overcomer and crusher of the serpent and sin, who is at the core of Christmas. Christmas is perfect because of him, but if we do not receive him, then it will remain imperfect, because the things of this world do not satisfy and cannot be perfect without the light and salvation of the perfect Word. So for those here who are Christians and have received the promised offspring to defeat the darkness of sin, have joy this Christmas because you are a child of God, and see perfection in Christmas because of Jesus and nothing else. But remember, the world is still dark, and people will continue to live in the imperfection of sin, not just at Christmas, but in every season, if they do not hear the news and receive the light of the Word become flesh. So we must spread this joy. And if you are not Christian, I ask that you do ponder this passage. The world is not perfect, we have seen, but the perfect God who created you is, and he came down to save you from the darkness. So why not receive him today, knowing that he has done everything else for us? Or maybe you are still struggling with some aspects of Christianity. Do not be afraid to ask questions, and maybe make the new year, 2026, the year that you address these claims. Thank you for listening. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for the incarnation. Thank you that your Son and Word, Jesus, overcame the darkness of sin and death through his perfect light and life. Thank you for this day that we celebrate this truth especially. Help us to remember that Christmas is perfect if we receive the one who it is named after. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together 5, 8, 9. 5, 8, 9. We have some sad news. Our sister Kath went to be with the Lord at 1 o'clock this morning. But let me just remind us all of what we've sung. Mine are riches from your poverty, from your innocence eternity. Mine forgiveness by your death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the day of your death is far greater than the day of your birth. I'll close in prayer, but we'll also pray for Colin and the family. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which we've just heard, the carols that we've sung. Lord, we do know that this time of year is painful and difficult for many people, and now another family feels that way. Lord, we pray for Colin. We pray for the family. We thank you for our friend and sister Kath, who served you here for so long. Thank you for her sweet manner and godly lifestyle. Lord, we pray your comfort for them, and also for the other families and people we know for whom this is a difficult time of year. But Lord, as Joseph invited, may, through our grief and our pain, through the imperfection of the time of year, may we call out to you, reach out to you, find you, the one who can exchange our tears for a smile, our sorrows for joy. Lord, as we go our separate ways, may we take your peace and your joy with us. Lord, may you remain at the centre and never at the edge. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless and happy Christmas.